Gospel according to St. Matthew. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he might go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if you gain the whole world, but forfeit your life? Or what if they will give in return? What will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some things standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of God rise, coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, thank you for having me be with you this morning. It is always my pleasure to worship with you. Today we're talking about the legacy of love. So the first thing I think I want to think of that is I have to tell you my confession. I love stories. Now hear me when I say that. I'm not talking about stories with embellishment. And I'm not talking about stories that we call lies. I'm talking about stories that have a plot, a good plot, and often have imagination, stories that are creative, maybe it's slight intrigue, but stories that honor all people. I've read a lot of books, a lot of stories in my life. I even know how to tell a story or two. I've been known to do that on occasion. The Facebook wisdom that I came across on my feed this week says this, and I quote, life is a book. Some chapters are sad, some happy, some exciting, end quote. It is not just our words that tell the story, but our hands tell the story. If we look at them, how we walk can tell a story, and what we see on the face of others can tell a story. The topic of story, the story of our life, is the thread which runs through all of our scriptures this day, and is especially highlighted in Romans and Matthew. We all have a story. Our lives, as we said from Facebook Wisdom, are made up of many chapters. Sometimes the characters change. Some characters remain through all of the years of our life. The question is, what is the foundational influence of your life story for every chapter and engagement? I just ordered a book, and I got it. When I started writing this, I had in here my notes. It says I'm waiting for delivery, but I've got it now. And I started reading it. I can't remember all the dynamics which drew me to this book, but in the subtitle of In My Grandmother's House, there's a phrase that says, the stories we inherit. That so caught my attention. The stories we inherit. opportunities to leave a legacy for what was, what is, and point to what can be. I started reading it, as I said. The author, Yolanda Pierce, tells us story after story of how she has been formed in faith through the reflection of action stories, word stories, of people throughout her life. It is a legacy of story which builds the foundation of her faith. She tells a story about Church Mother Johnson. Now that's probably someone who's as old as her grandmother. And she remembers walking in to the Holy Pentecostal Church where her grandmother raised her. Mother Johnson would say, cover your head. They passed out the little doilies, you know, I don't know what they're actually called, to put on their head so that they were covered. And Mother Johnson would be the first to tell her, that skirt is a little bit too short. And everybody knew, all of her peers in school knew, that she was covered by the grace of God. You could tell that there were church mothers and grandmothers watching out for her. 20 years later, when she visited that church, there was Mother Johnson. Andrew, the little doily. By that time, she had been to college. She had learned a little bit. It wasn't that just Mother Johnson was trying to restrict her. But what if, she never knew for sure, she says, but what if Mother Johnson trying to protect her body? What if Mother Johnson, who was daughter of a slave, knew what it was to have others harm a child's body? What if Grandmother Johnson heard her mother's stories of the landowner's rape, of the children born of rape that were sometimes murdered at the hands of their own mother because they just didn't want their little girls to grow up to suffer the same thing mothers had. So this time, 20 years later, when Yolanda came in and was handed little Doily, not feeling restricted. She was grateful for the stories passed down to her in word and unspoken. Who are the people in your life that have gifted you with story? Stories for good, stories for ill, stories to help us through life. My grandfather was one such man that left a lasting legacy of story. He was revered by everyone in the family. In fact, when we went to Chicago to visit, we would sit right in front of you. Grandpa would be in the pulpit, and he always had a way of making sure. He would say, you know what my granddaughter taught me this week? Or you know what my son taught me? His sermons lifted up and encouraged people. And we have a gift. My brother and my sister have worked on it for all year. Nobody last night was old enough, but I don't know if there's anybody old enough today to remember, but my grandfather preached in the era where they only recorded collective story. He went on to tell us the truth that headlines are made up of individual stories. Folks like you and I, with Christian values, and those beyond Christian values that give the essence of the headline story. The criteria for a lasting legacy is not the flash of a headline news. The criteria for lasting legacy is a story of love. I'm not just speaking about the kind of cultural love that we fall into and fall out of at our emotional whims, but a foundational love which influences how we live our lives, how we listen to folks, how we speak. This foundational love is the biblical love that Paul urges disciples to live with generosity and sincerity. The living witness of God's love for us and for our love for God is the energy of our story. This foundational love is lived in and through our lives as we make the intentional choice to let our love of God influence how we live in relationship with others. It is not an emotional love. It is a choice. How do we make our choices? When I first heard that it's a choice, I have a little problem sometimes with eating, so pardon me.
How is love a choice? Brenda talks about discovering over the years the imperfect living, that we know ourselves the more we know the emotion is truly based on. Talk about anger being the expression of fear, the loss of control. In this situation in life that's really made you angry, did you notice someone being bullied, taking advantage of, and getting angry for them? We all get angry. It's every day that the little actions that build a life story of the legacy of love. This is a lifelong learning for us in choosing to live a loving love story. If we just react from our emotion, fight or flight, and stomp on someone else's feelings, we're reacting, not making a choice. Jesus calls us to deepen our discipleship with the third way of his foundational love in a life story. Consider how to respond to love, the foundational love of God. Our love for God and God's love for us. That is when we live the third way, neither fight nor flight of Jesus' love, and we discover we have a choice for how to respond when situations or people make us angry, hurt, sad, and even when we are happy and joy-filled. As disciples of Jesus, those who love Jesus, even when we are angry, or hurt, scared, or happy, we are urged to be sincere in love, to intentionally choose to live as God loves. Paul went on to elaborate on discipleship in the book of Romans, talking about keeping your scriptural fervor in serving the Lord. How do you do that? You be joyful in hope. You be patient during times of affliction. Faithful in your prayer. You share with people who are in need. You practice hospitality. You be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. You let your witness, your living story of faith, your story of love, your story of devotion to God influence every thought, every word, and every action as you engage with others. You let your love story of God's love be genuine and be sincere. Jesus helps us know that it is a continual lifelong journey, forever deepening skill and ability to love as Jesus loves. that we are to get behind Jesus and not see the priorities of our next life. Step through the cultural eyes of success. We have to learn to present to one another without judgment. Just listen, just encourage, and just lift up others, just like Brenda's grandpa did. When Peter tells Jesus, "Not you, you cannot suffer and die," he is considering life from an earthly desire, to hold on to this human life at all costs. But Jesus tells him to get behind him, to follow him into living God's desire, even at the cost of doing things that he would not necessarily want to do, like die on the cross. Loving others with the passion and heart of God's love, God's mercy, his justice, his forgiveness, it's not always easy. There is a cost to doing that. It is releasing one person's ego, their desires, our society's views of success, and letting God lead our lives. That means we must be very intentional to be in an intimate relationship with God. We need to have an attitude and a heart of love that will always result in actions that are brimming over with God's love, causing us to live this humble life. We don't have all the perfect answers, but God can lead us into his wisdom and his love. And the key is that in this lifelong journey of learning and practicing how to love each other, how to love ourselves, and to love the way that God loved, others can experience God's love through us. That is why Paul urged the historic first century disciples and us to love Jesus, to sincerely love. We're to make intentional choices and not just react to life's circumstance, to people's remarks, to people's thoughts about us. We have to learn about spiritual direction, to use tools to gentle our words, to gentle our actions, and to show love. When Brenda was doing research for her doctoral dissertation, she interviewed a bishop of the Louisiana area. The question was, what difference do you see that training people with the tools of spiritual direction gives them? That is, the deep listening, the holy storytelling, and examining their own stories to know themselves and God as deeply as they can. How did that make life different? How did that make life different in the Lutheran world in that synod? They've been training teams of five people, the pastor and four laypersons, in a two-year program of spiritual direction training for 2 years at a time for 8 years when Brenda asked this question. Together with the bishop, they discovered that the entire ethos of the synod had been changed. This was a time when Hurricane Katrina was so very devastating to this Louisiana area. Instead of just reacting, it was like the folks' emotions were put to a sit and came out gentler in presentation to the world. They were still grieving, they were still hurt, they were still angry, and they were still sad, but they did not project their anger on each other. They were not just shooting off their mouths with bad words, or blaming others, or shaming others. Brenda liked that phrase. In fact, she's used that entire quote in her most recent book, Spiritual Direction and the Metamorphosis of Church. The folks that they interviewed came out with a gentler presentation of the world. They were kinder, they were more merciful, more forgiving. They acted as actual fruits of the Spirit. They did all the things that Paul encouraged the disciples to do, to express through their daily lives the choices they made, the intentional choices for loving others with the foundational love of God. When we do this, we find, like Brenda's grandpa was for her, stories that become living legacies of God's love for the world. Paul states, "Let your love be sincere. May it be so through our everyday interactions with others. May we pause and intentionally choose to live Jesus' love in and through all our words and actions." Amen. We will sing the hymn of the day, "Will You Come and Follow Me," hymn number 798.